Giving is my joy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Sit where you, wherever you wish. I'm finding that when I give, it's the happiest time of my life. What do you find when you give?
Yes.
Is giving a joy for you? If I'm out mowing my lawn or shoveling my walk, I take some extra time to do my neighbors. Why do I do my neighbors? Well, because perhaps they didn't get around to doing theirs. But I don't let them know that I did it, because if I let them know that I did it, they'll feel that they owe me something, and I don't want anyone to owe me anything. So, giving is my joy. And if I give in joy, then I do not want something back. I do not want somebody to say thank you. I don't want someone to say, oh, I wish you had done it this way. Or, hey, I got the backyard too, you can do that. Or, I'm not working for somebody else. I'm not working for somebody else, I'm working for myself. I'm working for my own joy. When I go to an organization, and the organization has a program, I enter into the program not because the program is this way or that way, but because it's a program. And if the program says we meditate at this time, that's the time we meditate. If the program says that we do our morning ablutions at this time, that's when we take our bath, you know, and that's when we brush our teeth and clean up. If the program says that we have certain hours that we work on behalf of the organization, doing whatever it is, that's a misnomer. We're working on behalf of ourself. And we are doing something to show that we have the ability to do what is the finest and the best that we have within ourselves to do. If I say to you, okay, let's go to Sai Baba. Let's visit the old boy. And let's find out what the old boy is doing there. And so we go there. And when we go to visit Sai Baba, we pay our way. We have certain fees that we meet. And plus the airfare and all the other things, which are very interesting. And he comes and speaks to us for maybe an hour or less and at some particular time during the day. And the rest of the day, we are on our own. We are supposed to do our meditations. We're supposed to walk the meditation paths. We're supposed to either take whatever responsibilities we have agreed to take, such as making the meals or cleaning up the assembly hall or cleaning up our own rooms or cleaning up the main building, the main buildings where the operations of Sai Baba's program is. And we don't think, oh my God, here I'm coming as a spiritually illumined, a spiritual seeking student, and I don't want to work in this place because I'm here to meditate. I'm here to do this. Well, remember the guru who was up in his hermitage. He's in his hermit's cave up on the side of the mountain. And the king had a problem. So the king went to see him with his entire entourage. And they made themselves comfortable and then they waited. And the aide to the guru said, The hermit will see you soon, but just wait. So they waited 5-6 days. And at the end of that time, the hermit called them in and said, what can I do for you, sir? And the king told the hermit his problem, and the hermit said, He thought for a considerable time, and then he said, sir, this too shall pass. Oh, what idiotic, stupid wisdom to give to a king who is there on a very important quest of finding peace and order in his nation. Well, if you stop and think about it, what is the guru saying? He is saying, we live in the now. And if we will live in the now, this too will pass. This too will no longer be ours because we are living it and releasing it. We're living it and releasing it. We're not holding on to it. If we possess it in the now is going to be possessed later. The now is going to be possessed in all of these creative times that we're making, which are all really just the now. Because no matter what we think about, we're living in the now. So when you're visiting with Sai Baba and you're told to do certain things, you do them. You don't say, what's the matter, Sai Baba? Can't you afford to have a housekeeper? Can't you afford to have janitors? Can't you afford to have gardeners? Hey, it's hard enough finding jobs for people to give them something meaningful to do around there. And what would you say? What would you say if you had the privilege of making Sai Baba's bed? You say, I made Sai Baba's bed. Ooh, wow, what a privilege. I cleaned up his bedroom. I cleaned up his bathroom and installed it. I cleaned up in the administration building. I was allowed to be in the administration building and sweep the floors or even wash the floors or something, you know. What an honor it is to do those things in an organization that total purpose is spiritual illumination, is spiritual seeking, spiritual... for instance, if you went to the Vatican, what do you think they would do with you in the Vatican? Well, in the first place, they have nothing for you at the Vatican. There are no courses, there are no lessons, there are no anything. You go there and observe and you meditate and you do different things. And if you're going to have an audience with the Pope, you're there bright and early. You're there in plenty of time for it. And then the Pope talks to you, perhaps, and a dozen more. But if he talks to you alone, how lovely. Oh, what an honor. And then, if the priests or the people who work in the Vatican say to you, okay, now, if you're going to come here, we have a program. And if you'd like to follow the program, you're welcome to. But you see, in truth, the Vatican is pretty efficiently run. They don't have a bunch of people come there who they're going to keep busy. The people don't live on the grounds. The people don't stay overnight on the grounds. They don't walk the paths in the Vatican at night. They don't walk it during the day unless they're by a guided tour. People aren't allowed just to freely roam through the Vatican. You know that, don't you? And so, you see, the priests can apply themselves to their work. They can apply themselves to the task that they have of running the organization and doing the things, not being bothered with a bunch of people coming there who want to be entertained. Well, I think this is something for us to consider too. We have a wonderful organization here. We do beautiful things here. People come and want to participate in the organization, and we say to them, well, make your own bed, keep your room clean, and take care of your own duties, and be on time for the programs, and attend all the programs. You hear me? Attend all the programs. You don't attend the programs, you're not here. If you don't come to the programs, you're not here. So if our guests do not attend the programs that are scheduled for them to attend, hey, you're not welcome here. If you're not going to participate in everything that we do here, which is what you know about ahead of time, you understand? Mm-hmm. Don't come. But if you're going to participate in it, then come. But if we're going to have to babysit you and help you as you walk through your path of illumination, which we do through our lectures and through our other attitudes, but people who come here, they pay $50 a day for room and board, and then they have to work. Now, if you
and the spiritual food.
And the spiritual food, right. They come here for room and board and spiritual food for $50 a day, which is cheaper than any hotel in town. I mean, you go to a flop house and you pay, I don't know what you pay, but you pay a certain amount of money. And I've looked at the cheap hotels advertising as we drive down the freeway, and none of them are under $69, and that doesn't include food. That just includes from noon until, say, noon the next day or whatever it is. But that's it. That's it. And here we have $50 a day for food and lodging and the spiritual activity and participating in the program. Now, a lot of people come here and they have the idea that we are not very intelligent. They have the idea that they know what our program should be, and they want to rewrite it for us. And they want to say, I'm not going to the swimming pool at this time. I'm not going to exercise at this time. I'm not going to meditate at this time. I'm going to do it at this time. I don't feel like, well, please don't come. Please don't come. You only make us feel frustrated with you that you are dishonest not sincere in saying you're coming here to walk your spiritual path and be illumined. We have had people come on this campus who 100% followed the program, and because they did this, they were healed of their illnesses. Because they did this 100%, the terrible things that were in their system, they learned how to release, and they released them. We don't lay on of hands here and make healings. We don't give foods, or we don't give vegetarian meals or non-vegetarian meals to help you. You come here and you follow the program. When in Rome, you do as the Romans. And the program here is dedicated to walking your spiritual path. Now, giving is my joy. And I give to people, and I give, and I give, and I give, and I give to people around the world. Many people who have money, many people who don't have money. And the people who have money are the worst about giving money. The people who don't have money, they give what they can. And that's lovely. But the people who have money, they say, I can afford to hire that done. I can do this and I can do that. Hey, don't come. Don't come. You're the rich man who cannot enter the kingdom of heaven until you give away your riches. Until you absolutely are free of those riches which possess you. Think on these things. It's my joy to give. I'm going to always, all of my life, give. And no matter how many hundreds of years I live, I'm going to all of my life give. But I don't care if anyone takes. That's not my... I'm giving you a new fur coat. And Sylvie says, well, here in Campbell, we don't really need a fur coat. You know, it's not cold enough. Well, sometimes it'll cool. But Sylvie says, what am I going to do with a fur coat? And I say, well, I really don't care. I'm giving you a fur coat because I'm giving it. And if you don't want it, that's your business. But I give it to you. You don't even have to take it, but I give it to you. And it's my joy to give. Now, I give a lot of things that's my joy to give. And I give the puppies cookies now and then. And Ellen says, don't give my puppies so many cookies. They're getting fat. Well, they're not getting fat because I'm giving them cookies. If they're getting fat, she could just reduce their meal portion a little bit, you know, because it's the same thing. It's food. But don't blame me. I'm just giving. And if you're around me, I'm just giving, always giving. And take that look off your face. That's better. I'm just giving. Now, I'm serious. You're sitting there frowning. Don't make yourself difficult to receive the blessings that are available to you. I told you the stories when I was a kid. I'd mow my neighbor's lawns and I'd shovel my neighbor's sidewalks in the wintertime and do little things like that when they weren't looking, because I enjoyed doing it. I loved to have those little secrets, and they probably knew about it. You know, they probably watched me out the window and said, good, I hope that Barley kid comes over here tomorrow too when it rains and snows and stuff like that. But you know, they never said a word to me, and they never gave me anything. And that was great. I didn't want anything. I was giving to give. I wasn't giving to get. And it was, I felt so good about it. I felt so wonderful. And I can still remember each one of the neighbors' houses and each one of the conditions of the neighbor's family and how important it was for them to have this done. But then, it wasn't important for them. Stop and think. They weren't walking on their front sidewalk. It was the neighbors who were walking on their front sidewalk. I shovel their front sidewalk, not for my neighbors that own the property, but for the passerbys, you know, people who were walking down to the bus or people who were going wherever they were going. And, you know, really, I was doing it for the whole neighborhood, you might say. And I hadn't thought of it till just now, but I just thought I'm doing it for them because they couldn't get out, you know, or they were old or whatever. And isn't that interesting? In retrospect, we sometimes look back and we say, hey, they didn't get out. They weren't going to walk on their own sidewalk. They could care less. And if people don't like walking on their slippery sidewalk, then they can walk in the road, which is slipperier. But that's fine. That's fine. Giving is my joy. How about you? Is giving your joy? If giving is your joy, you don't give a hoot and a holler what anyone says or whether anyone accepts. You just say, hey, this is a wonderful thing. We have a student who attended a program, and we should look back and see what name we had on that program that time. But I don't, if, this is always the School of the Master, but we don't have School of the Master seminars. You can be sure, my loves. Hey, you can be sure. If we have a School of the Master seminar, we're going to charge like we do in Europe. We're going to charge the same amount. And if nobody comes, fine. If everybody comes like they do in Europe, fine. And in Europe, what do we charge basically for?
$1,000.
$1,000.
Francs.
Huh?
1,000 francs.
1,000 francs for, it doesn't matter, $1,000. It's 1,000. And then they pay their own hotel and they pay their own food. And so the whole program runs them, how much was the food and lodging for the week there at Montebrey? Maybe about
1,800.
So another $2,000. So that's $3,000 for a week seminar. Ellen, it's for room and board and so forth. Now, if it's a little less than that, c'est la vie. But it's $3,000, and they didn't bat an eye. And they felt that they were well fed by the spiritual food they received. And they had special applause, special approval for our giving the seminar at the end of the seminar. And we have a value for it. And thereby we get people to enjoy it and appreciate it. So in the future, any School of Master seminars we have here, we will charge approximately, maybe $2,000. Our overhead is a little less. But we'll charge $2,000. And if nobody comes, fine. Then I have a holiday. If somebody comes, fine. We have a seminar. But you see, this is what all of these other people who conduct seminars around the world do too. Of course, when we're away from home, we do that too. But at home, we have a tendency to throw our pearls before the swine, and they're just trampled into the ground and not appreciated at all. And that is ending. When people come to campus, they will not be expected to do any campus work. They will be given duties to do, to meditate, to walk the path, to exercise, to listen to the lectures, and to be on time always for everything, you know? And that's all. Because the work that people do around here is insignificant for the pain in the neck that it is for them to tell us that they shouldn't have to pay when they're paying the $50 a day for the program. So, I sound like I'm a little unhappy about it, don't I? Well, I'm unhappy about one thing, that I allow myself to be unhappy.
But you're not.
And I'm not. And I was telling Ellen, we're going to set up a new program. And Ellen, does that sound good to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Ellen says, well, you need to get some work out of them. No, we don't. Ellen, when we're at Montebrey, do we get work out of them?
No.
And do we have a great seminar?
Yes.
Do we have a super seminar where everybody is just totally thrilled?
Yes.
Then that's what we want to do here. And the only way we can do it is by not having them work. We have them do the program. If anybody comes here, it'll be for a special program. And if people want to come here and be a monk, that's another thing. If they want to come here and attend the one-day program or something like that, then we will give them plenty of ammunition. Instead of just 4 hours a day, we'll give them five of lectures. Right?
Whatever you say.
But aren't you generous? Isn't she wonderful? I tell you, that's the kind of person you want running your organization, who goes along with the program. Okay. Isn't life wonderful? Isn't life wonderful? I find it galling. You know, I used that word the other day. I find it galling when rich people complain about being expected to do incidental work on campus, like cleaning toilets, which they don't do, or weeding the lawn and doing other things, you know, which they don't do. We don't really have any lawn here to weed. We have 2 square feet out in front of the house and 3 square feet behind, you know. And but I think this is a new revelation for me. I will always be giving in joy. but I'm not going to have people complain about how I give. I'm going to tell them straight out how I do it, which I have. But they didn't listen, which I have, and I always will. Yes. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.